Backseat Box Office, episode number 34, for the weekend of May 13th through the 15th, 2011.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
And we are the Backseat Producers. You're listening to Backseat Box Office.
Woohoo!
Your voice isn't quite back, though, is it, sir? Man, no, we were just talking about that.
I can't quite do what I'm used to doing. It's odd.
Yeah, so I listened to Funny Books this week, and you sounded rough.
That sounded like a monster about to come get you or something.
This is Andrew.
You know, when I first called in, I was like, hey guys. They're like, oh, what the hell is going on? Who is that?
You're playing with your FX filter again, aren't you?
Oddly enough, not. I even thought about putting a little treble into it just to see if that would help balance it out.
Turn the bass all the way down, turn the treble all the way up. Wow, that would have been probably even more terrible.
Hey, so speaking of Funny Books, though, did anyone else see Thor this weekend, or was it just me?
I did.
What did you think, Tony?
I took the boy to see it Saturday night. My wife's stepmother's 60th birthday party Saturday night, and I'm like,
oh my God,
dreading it. And you may have seen the tweets. The tweets were pretty hilarious because we did it at a local chain Italian restaurant, and we went to the place, and it was like walking in, it was like, man, where did Hoosierville come from? I mean, it was pretty hectastic walking in. You know, it's like five or six guys outside smoking, and it wasn't just guys, there were some women out there smoking right in front of the door too. So it was like, oh, this is gonna be great. Walk in, we get settled, and they have like the party room, so nobody, you know, we have, I guess they knew how many people we had coming, and they gave us just exactly enough space for that many people. It's like 35 people, so it's like ridiculous. Well, of course, we get there, we're supposed to get there like a half an hour early, so that, 'cause it's a surprise party. So we get there like 25 minutes early. So I'm looking around, and it's like, there are four of us. There is no place here where there is four empty seats next to each other. But there are places where there's two, and there's two more, and three. But nobody's like filling in the gaps. They're just sitting where they want and leaving these gaps everywhere. It's like, this is ridiculous. I'm ready to go. I don't even want to be here anyway. This place, the food isn't that great. Oh, and we're serving it buffet style. Oh, wonderful. We get there. The food is already in the buffet thing. We're not going to eat for at least a half an hour. Oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sit down and, you know, sometimes these buffet kind of things for parties, you know, people put out little cups of candies or mints or something. So there's little cups of like Hershey Kisses. Oh, that's cool. Then there's little cups of like those butter mints, which is, that's all right. Then there's little cups of broken candy canes. No lie. These are candy canes that somebody has purposefully broken and put in these little cups. So I like take a picture of it and say, see? And then Tallulah on Twitter's like, where do you even get candy canes this time of year? Oh, and the cupcake cup that they're in really sets it off, because they actually like use cupcake paper as their cups. It was wonderful. So I think Julie kind of took pity on me, because we're like, can we finally go? And we had some other stuff to do, and Holden wanted to see the movie, and I told him we'd see it in the morning. Well, we couldn't. And then we finally were like, all right, it's 8:30. there's a 9:15 showing. Are you awake? He's like, yes. If it means we can see Thor, I am awake. So I took the 8-year-old to a 9:15 movie on Saturday night. We had a great time with it. We had a lot of fun.
It was such a good comic book movie.
It was, yeah. Yeah. It is very definitely a comic book movie. It's a big popcorn movie. There was some nice subtleties to it, but overall it was a fun comic book movie. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, I thought Chris Henson did a pretty good job taking a role which some people might look at as being unapproachable. Like, you know, how do you play a freaking Norse god?
He did a good job. I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought he did an excellent job. And Kenneth Branagh did a great job directing.
I agree. I think the only thing that was a little off for me was the Warriors 3. It almost seemed a little bit much.
Forced.
Yeah. Not forced. I mean.
Oh, no, it was forced.
Yeah, you needed something there because you needed them to hit a few of the plot points. But I don't know. It almost would have been better served with maybe just Sif.
Yeah, they seemed unnecessary. They seemed like they were there because they're there in the comic book, so they wanted them there in the movie. Not that they were really needed at any point in the movie.
Yeah, I think if you would have had the Warriors 3 or Sif, having both of them there, it really didn't serve a purpose. Because it was like, hey, we're five adventuring guy, you know, this group of five that we go adventuring together, yet those guys are called the Warriors 3. What? How does that work? Because, you know, you seem to work together as a team, but there's Thor, Sif, and the Warriors 3. It's like you have two lead singers in the backup band. But no, I mean, it's a minor quibble that they wanted to get that fan service in.
And I'm not sure. It's Chris Hemsworth. I don't know if I pronounced it right a second ago, but Chris Hemsworth plays Thor. So yeah. I want to make sure I got that right.
Yeah, and I thought the guy who played Loki did a pretty good job. He was really good at being deceitful without being, I'm evil, you know? He wasn't.
Right.
He didn't play it that over-the-top, leering, you know, winking at the camera. Yes, Thor, I'm doing this for your own good. Wink. There was none of that. And so I appreciated that. That was a nice play on Branagh's part.
Well, I even liked at one point, he was like, this doesn't really give anything away, but he's like, all these bad things that happened, yeah, that was kind of unintentional. I'm just capitalizing on it. Because really, I just set out to embarrass this one person. And things got a little out of hand. And now I'm sitting here on the throne.
Right. I just happened to take advantage of that.
Right. So,
yeah. And I
thought it was good.
I liked how layered his plan was. Because he actually does a few things in there that are a little bit surprising with his, you know, his ultimate plan. And I thought that was kind of clever.
Yeah, no, I thought it was well done. So, because it would have been easy to take that character in the wrong way and make him just kind of a caricature. So I thought it was a really good movie.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you.
So, all right, and Jonathan, I'm sorry you haven't seen it yet.
It's the way it goes.
Now,
okay.
Now I did
words of wisdom.
One last thing, I threw it out there, and it's. Mostly because I guess it comes from the Hamlet take they were doing on it. But there were certain points in that movie that hit the same beats that Lion King hits. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think of Lion King. I thought more of Hamlet, but Lion King is somewhat derivative of Hamlet. Well, yeah. So it's a roundabout connection, but
when,
I see what you're
when
saying.
When talking with an 8-year-old about the movie.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, yeah, the 8-year-old's going to go straight to Lion King.
He went
straight
to Lion King because we were talking about, you know, Loki and Thor and Odin and you know, well,
it's Thor Scar is, and
Thor is, yeah, Thor is, Thor is going to be king and Loki's jealous of that and he wants to be king and Holden's like, oh, like Scar. Exactly. And then I started thinking about it more, and I was like, holy crap, there are a lot more similarities to this than just that. But
yeah, it's the whole plot line certainly wasn't, you know, brand new.
It was definitely
in that vein.
No, which is a good thing.
And unlike it's my an easy story to follow. Funny books, there is nothing in common except the whole kind of Stranger in Strange Land bits. There's nothing else in common with He-Man. Swear to God, Paul said that on the show, and I almost just passed out.
Hey, you know what? He-Man was probably one of the best New Gods stories that was ever made.
Yeah, but the plot line, he didn't, you know, He-Man didn't end up on Earth because, you know, his brother betrayed him.
No.
There was no, he fled there from evil force. There's the only similarity is strange man in a strange world. That's it.
Yeah.
Now, are we, my childhood memories are kind of weak. Are we talking about the cartoon or the Dolph Lundgren?
Dolph Lundgren film.
Yes, the Dolph Lundgren film.
Okay.
Which, actually, if you want to reference where that gets some of its ideas from, look at some of the Jack Kirby New God stuff. There's a lot of that shows up in the Masters of the Universe movie.
Yeah, I didn't read New Gods when it came out, so I'm not so familiar with it.
And how can you call yourself part of a comic book podcast? That's like having a movie podcast and not have seen
Ghostbusters.
Casablanca or Ghostbusters or Godfather. Godfather 2.
I'm going to tell you again, Tony. I'm the drag chute on this podcast, trying to keep things under control.
You are the Adam Pania of Backseat Box Office with less nipple jokes.
So far. Or gay jokes in general, really.
Yeah. So what else came out this week?
There were other movies this week?
There were. Surprisingly
enough. Let me tell you how things shook out this past weekend. We had Thor number one with $65.7 million. Not as much as expecting, less than Fast Five at its opening weekend. But Fast Five plunged 62% to $32.4 million, which was good enough for the second place spot. Jumping the Broom came out at number three, 15.2 its opening weekend.
Came out of nowhere. Holy crap.
I didn't see that coming.
None of us did.
Something Borrowed debuted at number four with $13.9 million. Rio, still hanging in there, about 4 weeks out now. It's at number five with $8.5 million.
And Jonathan, how did you fare this week?
I did decent. You know, enough to beat you two, so
enough to yep. be enough to have the best score of the week. Well, yes. Tied for the best score of the week with four other people.
Hey, I'm okay with that. You know,
and all five of you picked the exact same movies, the exact same order to get that score too.
Great minds, you know, great minds think alike.
Hey, what?
I got Thor, Fast Five, and Rio correct it, 1, 2, and 5. And then I had Something Borrowed and Jumping the Broom swapped at 3 and 4, respectively, when they were 4 and 3,
yes,
respectively. Yeah, I think that works. That ended me up with a 23, along with several other people.
Yeah,
so.
You, Art, Mark J., Riven Sedriel, and William Paul all had a 23 this week.
You know, I hate to say it, Tony, but he may actually be the talent now. After beating us for two consecutive weeks.
We were just foreshadowing that. Here's the second act where it actually comes to fruition, and he's working his way into the role that we preset for him. The prophecy is coming true.
Gathering up my followers too, you'll notice.
Yeah. You know,
people all picking the same picks I had. So
the church disciples, perhaps
the Church of the Hand.
If they're my disciples, does that mean I have to worry about? And nobody buys anything with silver these days anyway.
The Roman Empire's been gone a long time. You're probably okay. Maybe watch out for the ATF. Maybe. I did not do as well as Jonathan. He ended up with a 23. I had a 21 this week. you know, I had picked Thor number one, got that spot on. Fast Five number two, again, spot on. I did not think Something Borrowed and Jumping the Broom were going to do that well. I picked Rio at number three above them. Yeah, that was two spots off. Actually came number five. I had Something Borrowed at number four, which was perfect. And then I had Jumping the Broom at number five, which I should have flipped that with Rio, because that also cost me 2 points for 21 for the weekend. Tony, how about you?
I had Thor and Fast Five at number one and two. Those were the only ones I got right. Something Borrowed I had at number three. That was at number four. Rio I had at number four. That was at number five. And Jumping the Broom I had at number five, and that was number three. So I lost 4 points. I got a 21 this week. Oddly enough, the numbers for this week shook out. There was one person out of the 16 that participated this week, us included. There was one person that got a 19, one person that got a 20. Everyone else either got a 23 or a 21. Yeah, it was ridiculous how common the scores got. But
I'm not holding out a lot of hope of that happening again this week.
This week could get interesting. I have a feeling there'll be a little more a mix to the scores this week.
Yeah.
Well, we only have two new movies opening in wide release. Well, it's a pretty
There's one more thing to note about the leaderboard.
Oh, go ahead.
I maintained my number four position. Jonathan maintained his number five position. Andrew, do you know how you did?
I dropped from number six to number eight, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Okay. Tim and Shay, they had 21s also. But they had with having fewer entries, that 21 affected their scores more than it affected yours, and elevated them up to just under Jonathan. And Jonathan is now at an average score of a 20. So
yeah, he had a good bump this week.
Yeah, and first through third, it's worth noting they are a third of a point from first to third. That's how close the scores are. So a lot of movement. And quite honestly, I can see there being even more movement this week. So it's anybody's game. It's still early enough.
Agreed.
Yep.
All right. So, so what's coming out this week?
Well, we got two movies. We got Bridesmaids and Priest. I think Jonathan wants to tell us about Priest.
I found a really great description of Priest that I thought was worth sharing. It's a sci-fi western martial arts explode orgasma about dystopian future Catholics and a rogue priest who must do karate on vampires.
I want to see this movie now.
Directed by, I think it was James, who gives a about that nobody, because a guy in this movie has a Bible full of crucifixes, which are also throwing stars.
That is fantastic.
It's a long name because he's German.
This sounds like the daydreams I used to have in Sunday school.
I got to say, the trailer is pretty impressive. A dude literally does open up throw a bunch of crucifixes into the air that come out of a hollowed out Bible. They all turn into, I don't know how that works.
I think he has some sort of telekinesis, I believe.
Yeah, but if he had, then why does he have to actively throw them?
Because like he picks
them
cool.
out of the air and throws them. I don't know. It's weird. But I got that off of Penny Arcade. Anybody that is a Penny Arcade reader will.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, and it's Scott Charles Stewart directs. And I don't know if you probably already know this, but it's based on the script's based off of Tokyo Pop manga.
I did not know that.
I'm not surprised.
Didn't
by that.
Tokyo Pop just stop? Producing, did I hear that right?
I don't follow that closely that I'd be able to tell you.
I could be making that up, so go on.
So, not saying, but maybe Tokyo Pop out of business, possibly, but fact. But not sure.
Fact.
Maybe.
Fact. Tokyo Pop gives up on manga.
Boom.
April so they're 11th. Not- Today's news, the Tokyo Pop is shutting down its publishing division. Is shocking but not surprising. Shocking because Tokyo Pop was once the second largest manga publisher in the U.S., but not entirely unexpected after they laid off all but a handful of employees last month.
Well, there you go.
So there you go.
Thank you, sir.
I am helpful because I didn't watch Thor. So for the first half hour of this episode, I just kind of sat there. And was
like, I need something to do.
It's a little uncomfortable hearing two guys wank off in the microphones around me, but you know.
I don't know. I've heard some way of the games where you've had that same role listening to Sam and Alex wank. I think you have experience.
To be honest,
with the way of the game, Alex has a tendency to just go off on wank fests on his own. I've had to deal with that from the beginning. So,
about Blood Bowl or Solium Infernum,
especially anything that has strategy involved is typically a
collectible card game mechanic as well.
Yeah, that will almost always lead to discomfort. And
it was so amusing to listen to him talk about Bakugan because we have a lot of them. The actual figures in the house. And Holden actually plays the Bakugan video game. So he's talking about this, and I was just... It's like, you are my 8-year-old.
Well, I don't want to get us too far off topic, but when I was out to see my nephew a couple weekends ago, he is big into Beyblade.
Oh, yes.
Gotta say, kind of fun.
Beyblade is kind of fun. Let her rip.
Basically just let her rip, and then you just watch. And my nephew was a bit clever about this, but I quickly figured out that, you know, mass equals good.
Oh, yeah.
And so I put together my own Beyblade. It did fairly well.
Yeah. It's Battle Tops, and it's that's all it is, and it's fun.
It's all it needs to be.
Anybody can play it. It's great because, like, my mom can sit down and play this game with him because you need no talent. You pull a ripcord, it falls into the little battle arena, and they just bang off each other. Earplugs help because these metal tops banging against each other can get a little noisy. But other than that, yeah.
Yeah, no. So anyway, but back on topic. Bridesmaids is the other movie releasing this week, and it's a Kristen Wiig top lines the comedy Bridesmaids, produced by Judd Apatow. Basically, she plays one of the two women who compete to throw the...
Apatow?
Oh, no, that's a T, isn't it? Not an L.
Apatow.
Apatow.
Sorry, Apatow. How about if I say Gyllenhaal? Was that
it? Thought we were recording with Daryl.
I was about to say that.
Wow, dude.
Well, you should have heard him try to pronounce the Corleone family this evening. That was brilliant. We love you, Daryl, but you need to learn how to pronounce.
So I failed there, but I got to say, I watched the preview for this. This actually looks like a fairly entertaining movie.
It does. It looks like the comparisons are there, so I might as well make them. It looks like a female version of The Hangover.
Mm-hmm. Without so much amnesia.
Without the amnesia, but with just as much crude humor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The Red Band trailer.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the Red Band trailer. Yeah. It is going to be that level of crude humor. And from what I've seen coming out of The Hangover 2, this looks like a better movie from what I've seen so far. Because The Hangover 2 is just not showing much, which... That's not a good sign.
Well, like I say, you know, there's the one kind of disgusting bridesmaid, and the part where she's talking about let's have a girls' fight club.
When she's that's the actress that's on Mike and Molly.
Okay.
The sitcom.
Okay.
Take my word for it.
You need a crickets like.
Yeah,
something that's good, some sort of sound effect for those moments when you're like,
"That's what I can
on this."
Hey, that's what I can use my my Nook for. I could set it up as a soundboard.
Anyway,
can we have crickets that's for my, the crickets?
That is courtesy of my son right there.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I can actually see Bridesmaids being a better movie experience than The Hangover 2.
And I haven't seen that much on The Hangover 2, but I was fairly impressed with Bridesmaids.
I've looked for stuff on The Hangover 2, and there's just not much out there yet. Which it comes out, what, at the end of the month? If the lawsuits don't stop it.
Who's suing them?
The tattoo artist who...
Oh, from Mike Tyson?
You know what's funny? Is the backseat producers interviewed the lawyer that is representing the tattoo artist.
Jeff is representing the tattoo artist?
Law firm is representing the tattoo. His new independent law firm is representing the tattoo artist.
The Brickyard or something Bricks, wasn't it?
Brickhouse,
okay.
Or something like that.
Anyway.
We'll misrepresent it, but we'll get it right if we can actually get Jeff on one of the episodes of either show to talk about. I'm trying. I've already asked. It's like when the dust settles, if you can, would you come on the podcast and talk about this? Because this would be cool.
Yeah. So, I can listen to Jeff talk forever. He's always got such interesting stories and insight into intellectual property litigation.
I kind of geek out of that stuff too. And I've often said, I probably know more about copyright law and IP law than any non-lawyer should. Yeah, so those are our two offerings this week.
Well, I was going to say about Bridesmaids, something that I noticed. We have derided Rotten Tomatoes in the past, and I'm not using them for my... necessarily for my picks, but
I'll be honest, I didn't even look at them this time.
I actually did, and there are a surprising number of reviews already up for Bridesmaids, and the interesting thing about them is they say that it is they all make the Hangover for Women comparison. Mm-hmm. But coming from in the liberal arts school with modern day college, that kind of thing. Well, something I found interesting is they all said that it's not male humor put into female characters, but it's like female humor. It successfully is a woman's comedy without, it's as gross and as disturbing as The Hangover, but from a feminine point of view as opposed to a male point of view. So,
hey, true fact, women can be gross.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I think that was kind of cool that people are praising it for pulling that off. So.
That's cool. And if that's the praise for it, then that's what I'm expecting. So it sounds like I'm probably going to enjoy the ride when I get to see it.
Anyway, my contribution. Because I haven't seen The Hangover either. So.
You haven't seen the original Hangover?
No.
Oh, dude.
That's a funny movie.
There are a lot of movies I haven't seen.
Yeah, it's worth finding it on for, $10 somewhere. It's pretty funny.
I've heard good things about it.
It's just funny, and you definitely don't want to turn it off as soon as the credits start. because the conceit of the movie is they go to Vegas for a bachelor party. Then they wake up the next morning and none of them can remember what happened.
In their life are awry.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Ed Helms one of his teeth is missing.
Yeah.
There's a tiger in their hotel room. There's a baby in their hotel room. And one of the guys is missing. The groom.
The groom
is just missing. And they just don't know what's going on. They have no clue. They remember getting to Vegas and toasting each other and nothing after that.
Yeah. I got to say, for me, the 5 minutes of Mike Tyson in that movie made the whole thing worthwhile by itself.
Yes. Yeah.
The 5 minutes of Tyson on there, it was just, oh my God, I could not stop laughing.
Because if you weren't spoiled on it by the like the commercials or anything, when he shows up, it is just so random. I'm just like, what? Where did he come from? But one of the conceits in the movie is that they don't have their camera. Their digital camera got lost. And it gets found by the end of the movie. And they're taking and they're like, oh, there's pictures on here. And so during the closing credits of the movie, they show the pictures, which follows a chronology of what happened the night before, which they eventually piece together by the end of the movie. But you actually see in photographs some of the stuff that had only been described in graphic detail.
Yeah.
And I'm talking graphic. There are a couple of images in there that you almost wonder how this movie didn't get rated X or NC-17.
Yeah, I don't know how. It must have been a prosthesis or something. It must not have been an actual thing. But yeah, some of those pictures are like, how can you put this in this movie?
Yeah, and not get an NC-17 rating. It's like, wow. Anyway, I think I think
bottom line, Jonathan,
go see it.
Go see Hangover.
I will add it to my queue.
That way, perhaps you can be disappointed along with us when Hangover 2 comes.
All right, so I guess we should probably get around to making some picks this week.
You know, I think this whole pick thing's overrated. Let's. I think we should go in a new direction with this podcast.
Oh, really?
No, not really.
I was going
to
say
that would have been a lot better if you'd have had something to fill in there.
So.
Casting runes.
Go on.
All right, Jonathan, you're up.
All right. Well, my picks, I sat down and figured them out a little bit ago. I just want to point out, ready this entire. So this right now is not stalling. It's just me not forming a coherent sentence.
Are you vamping? Are you building the suspense?
Yes, I'm.
He's being the talent.
Got to lead in to this.
He's beat the talent.
He's fulfilling his destiny.
Oh, that's good. You know, since we started calling him the talent, I've started to picture Jonathan as the Kelsey Grammer from Frasier of the show.
He now,
like, I'm Roz, and you're like Nigel Tony. Sorry,
that's fine. Yeah, he.
Wait a minute! Don't you two get together in the end? Then
stop it.
I think Andrew just had a Freudian slip there.
Don't judge our love.
You're just jealous.
I'm not judging. Right. I'm acknowledging it.
Hey, I'm just saying. Out of the three of us on the mics, only two of us have shared a bedroom, and I'm not one of them.
That's true. He makes a good point. Though Andrew, you and I did have a date.
We had a mandate, though. There were nachos involved.
There were nachos and beers.
Well, that sounds like foreplay to me.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. Let's not get sidetracked any more than we already have, Jonathan. Stop stalling.
Come on. We know you have your smoking jacket on. Let's just get moving here.
My glass of Chianti. Or whatever the highbrow wine is. I don't know. Anyway.
Let's say you have a glass of Café Lafite from, let's say, 1982. 82 feet.
I don't want coffee of feet, though.
It's not. Yeah, at first I thought you were serious, but then I started to reply, and then I realized, nah, he's screwing with me.
Oh, my.
Especially 30-year-old feet coffee. I mean, come on. Anyway, number one, I've got Thor. Even if it drops a bunch, I don't see it dropping out of the top spot. Number two, I put Bridesmaids. I think it's got enough oomph behind it from... being pushed as from the super bad and 40-year-old virgin line that, you know, it can overcome, it can hit the $20 million mark probably. And I think Fast Five is going to drop below 20, which for me puts it at number three. Then I've got Priest at number four, because I just don't see Priest getting the geek vote. As cool as it sounds, there are a lot of nerds that actually know about the Priest comics and hate the way the movie looks. So I don't know. I worry about that because I could be completely wrong, and this could come out of nowhere and destroy everything. But I'm not sure. And then I've got Jumping the Broom at number five.
You son of a...
Yeah, you know, actually, I had the same list, too.
I have the same list
on Monday. So.
But I have this exact same list on my Nook right here. You are a son of a...
Well, Tony, consider things. I'm going to go and do my list. I had Thor at number one. Same reasons as Jonathan. I have Bridesmaids at number two. Same reason as Jonathan. I'm going to flip things here. I'm going to say Priest comes in number three. I'm going to say Fast Five drops another 60%, and Priest is able to just barely edge it out. So Fast Five at number four. And, yeah, I'll go and keep Jumping the Broom at number five. So there's my different list.
All right,
Tony, now that we've screwed you, go ahead.
Just to be an ass about it, I'm going to go ahead and jumble up my list, too, since I had exactly the same one as Jonathan.
Go with Crazy Jeff. You know, think back to Crazy Jeff wanting to bring back the insanity of the early days.
Soul Surfer number one. Do it, Tony.
Go ahead. Priest number one. Thor drops below Fast Five.
I am not that stupid. I might be crazy, but I'm not stupid. All right. Thor at number one. Bridesmaids at number two. Fast Five, I'm going to say, still holds at number three. I think Priest is obscure enough that, and I could be really biting myself in the ass here. I'm going to say Jumping the Broom at number four and Priest at number five. I had them reversed, but just to be difficult, I'm going to flip those two and say,
you know what?
Broom at number four and Priest at number five.
All I
got to
say is it's a really good sign for me that
we all three picked the same list and we changed them. Yeah, that was kind of stupid on our part.
When Priest pulls a Take Me Home Tonight, Tony's going to be 1 point happier than we are.
I'm going to get a 24.
When Priest is the new Dylan dog.
Yes. Ooh. Oh, we'll all be sad that day. Ooh, that will not be a good day.
I think we're relatively safe in that it's opening in 2,800 plus theaters.
So. Why would you mention relativity? Why would you even bring that up, Jonathan?
Is this a relativity picture?
No, but he said relativity. Relatively.
What?
He did it. He said it.
Relatively.
Stop it. I have bad dreams about that studio.
You're the one that talked about Take Me Home Tonight.
That's true.
That's true. That was a relativity film, yeah.
You inflict these things upon yourself, and all I can do is laugh.
Well, you have wrought your own destruction. The funny thing is I've joined HSX. I actually signed up for an account a couple weeks ago and started trading.
Did you get the relativity bond?
I didn't get relativity bond, but I should have maybe. But I did pick a relativity movie. I did buy stock in one of their movies. So.
Which one? Judy Moody?
No. Hold on. I can't remember which one it was. I'm looking it up. I'm logging in.
My big hope is just that Priest doesn't, since it is a Sony film, my hope is that it doesn't crash as hard as it's as their PlayStation Network has this month.
Oh, hey-o!
Topical joke. Well done.
Yeah, I figured one out.
you are the man.
Did you like, Tony, when before Ustream crapped out on me earlier, when I was able to make the holy crap backseat producers can be topical again?
Yes. Yeah, it's weird. We're actually like releasing episodes within a week of recording them. We do have one that we've got kind of in the back pocket, as it were, but that's mostly just because if we happen to skip a week, it would be nice to still maintain that weekly content. So Deuce and I recorded an episode on Casablanca. So I figured that one's timeless enough that if we hold on to that for 2 months, it's not going to be a big deal. And we may just record something else just to keep things fairly timely, even with those bonus episodes, you know, just to, so there's not one that's, hey, 6 months from now, we've got this episode we can slide in here.
We do that with our review episodes on Way of the Games. Like, oh, crap, we cannot get our schedules to come together. So here's this review we recorded 3 months ago.
Or maybe Sam's computer crashes from orbit and kills an episode. That rant of his is still one of my most amusing things. I know it's painful for him, but just listening to him go on, that is podcast.
You know what I need to do is I need to nominate you guys for a Parsec just so you can clip 10 minutes and just submit that. Submit nothing else but his rant.
I won't complain.
That would be awesome.
So the one movie, it's from Relativity, I picked up Immortals, which is a swords and sorcery fantasy war of gods, centers on the ancient Greek epic of Theseus, the mythical king of Athens who slayed the Minotaur. Ooh. I bought 2,000 shares of it.
I saw that one. I saw a trailer for that today. That's it looks like a 300 cash in.
It's done in the same style as 300. I didn't read that far down the page, but they do talk about that. That's one of the reasons I picked it up.
All right. I got nothing else to say.
Let's wrap it up.
See you guys next week. Make sure that at least enough of you go see Priest that we don't completely kill ourselves with this. If this turns out to be the Dylan dog of the week, this would be rough.
All right. Well, everybody have a great weekend. And if you can't be good, be safe.
See ya.
Bye.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, sexy.
Hey, what's going on, baby?
Not much. There's one podcast I listed, What Would Patton Do? And they've got this canned exit little blurb, and one was like, or call us out of parties with, hey, handsome.
That's beautiful.
So you sound good. How do we sound?
You sound great.
Thanks. I'm blushing. Ha 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 ha.